Bright but very sensitive listeners, I am very bad at being alone. It is literally 6:45 p.m. and my husband usually gets home from work around 6 or 6:30, but he has a dinner meeting tonight, which is totally fine. I knew about it ahead of time. Not a big deal, right? Literally just this extra half hour, 15 minutes is already driving me a little nuts. So let me explain. Like, I didn't know I was bad at being alone for a long time because I grew up in a family of six. You're never alone. And then after that, I went to college where I always had at least two roommates. Often I had more. At one point I had like six roommates. There were so many of us living in such a tiny little space. And I just didn't know I was bad at being alone until grad school. And even the first year of grad school, I had a roommate. But the second year, I lived with a professor who was there like 20% of the time, and then another grad student who lived in the basement and I never saw. So I was effectively alone. And my mental health has literally never been worse than that year. It was so, so hard. And I was so lost in the sauce of mental illness at the time that I didn't realize that being alone was a big part of the reason why, until I moved back home, moved in with my in-laws, lived with my husband and all this stuff. And my mental health still wasn't great because I was often alone. You guys, I feel like this is a big conversation recently about like, was your family a living room family or a bedroom family? My family was a living room family. And I know everybody says that's like a super good thing, but in my family, it indicated a lot of enmeshment. Like, we weren't allowed to be alone in our rooms. Like, if you were, it was like something suspicious. And so, but my husband's family is a bedroom family, which again, I think gets a bit of a bad rap. I think in reality, having the freedom to just be by yourself for a bit is really lovely. But the expectation to go off and be by yourself is a little lonely. And so I still struggled a bit because they are more of a bedroom family, which is fine, by the way. Like, if you're listening, in-laws, I love you to death, and letting us live with you was one of the kindest, most generous things ever. Just my mental health was still struggling at the time. And I think the amount of time I spent alone contributed to that. Now I live with my husband and our three kids in our house. We are very much a living room family. And I'm just not alone that often anymore again. And this is really good for my mental health because when other people are around, it almost feels like they are a container that I can put myself in. They give me shape. Other people give me something to push against or something to push up against me and to put me together. I feel like I have no center of gravity. And I've talked about this before. I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast very much, but I really struggle with my sense of self. And it comes back to a lot of the OSDD, otherwise specified dissociative disorder stuff I've been talking about, where I just don't feel like I'm a person without the presence of other people around me as well. That's actually the reason I'm recording this episode right now, because I was sitting alone on the couch watching YouTube and I realized I wasn't having fun. I wasn't really watching anything interesting. I was doom scrolling. Sorry, I had to cut that part out because my kiddo was chatting and I'm not super comfortable with his like image or voice being available on the internet yet. So anyway, I was doom scrolling on my phone. I wasn't having a good time. And I realized I had that like unraveling feeling. I feel when I am alone, I just feel crazy. I literally don't know how else to describe it. I don't mean that in a like negative, well, I mean, obviously I mean it in a negative way. I don't mean it in like a prejudiced, like rude to other people kind of way. I'm not calling anyone else crazy, but I don't know how else to describe this feeling. It is crazy making. Being alone makes me feel like I'm not real. And or not that I'm not real. That's too simple. It's not that. It's that I'm real but not connected. Whereas if my husband were home, he would notice I was starting to feel that way and he'd be like, hey, are you okay? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine. And saying it would almost make it true, which to a certain extent, I wonder if me being around other people is just me masking my crazy. But I don't know that it's that simple either. You know, I think it's that being around other people, yes, does encourage me to mask and hide some of my more erratic, negative feelings. But by not being left alone to just think about them and think about them and think about them, I actually do feel better. Like I say I feel better and I'm kind of lying, but then it becomes true. Like I speak it into existence a little bit. And so part of me is like, I wish I could be like alone so I could just deal with this. But another part of me knows that that's like not, sorry, I had to cut that part out again. But I know that that's not the solution. I know that my attachment wounds are largely to blame for the way I feel when I'm alone. And because those wounds happened in relationship, I know healing has to happen in relationship as well. And so I know that forcing myself to be alone so that I can just like, quote, deal with it, you know, and just like, quote, get over it or whatever I expect myself to do when I'm alone. Like, it's almost like I feel like I need to be at my worst in order to get better. And that's, it's such a pervasive myth in the world of mental health that like rock bottom is the only place you can get your footing. And it's just not true. And I know it's not true. But oh boy, it really sticks in my head. So this is me just trying to document what this feels like and I guess see if maybe you guys relate to the feeling of being alone, being crazy making. And I don't know. I don't really have an ethos for this episode. I don't have a message to come away with except that it's hard to be a person and it sucks being mentally ill. It doesn't feel good. And I think there's a lot of like movements out there to try to support and liberate people who are mentally ill. And I really support them. And at the same time, I don't always think that, you know, environment is the only thing to blame. Like sometimes in these types of spaces, in some mental health spaces, there's this like lots of talk about like, you know, the root of all mental illness is capitalism, which you like to be fair, like maybe. But I also think, at least for me, my life is amazing. I know my life is amazing. It feels like me that's the problem. And that feels so devastating and so fucked up. So I don't know. It's a bit of a tangent. I'm going to wrap this up because my kiddo is chatting and I'm having to pause and cut stuff up a lot. So, which is fine. I don't want him to like stop talking. I just, it's making it hard to record. So I'm going to wrap this up. But yeah, being alone is hard. I'm mentally ill and it sucks. And that's kind of the gist of this episode. If you also struggle with being alone, just know that my heart like really goes out to you, especially if you are living alone right now. I know how hard that is. And I hope that you can listen to this podcast as a way to feel a little less alone.